Hallelujah, your word, Lord, that's anointed to set us free, that causes us to grow in you, that corrects us sometimes, that brings us into that place of knowing you more and more intimately. Thank you for your word today that's going forth, God. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Today we're going to be looking into the message, Jesus the I Am. Jesus the I Am. So we're going to be looking into the I Am of Jesus and see how that applies to our lives today. The I Am statements we're going to be looking at is I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So we're going to be looking at those three things today and see how that we can bring it over into our lives today. So the Bible tells us in John 14, I didn't write down where it starts at, but it's somewhere in 14. If you go there later, you can find it. John 14, Jesus was talking to his disciples, getting them ready for the time that he was going to go back to the Father. And he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going away there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be there where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So here in this verse, as I said before, we have Jesus saying, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And he was preparing the disciples for the time that he would be leaving them. And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way?" And he says, "Well, first of all, you're not going to know the way except through me to the Father. And you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know me, you know the Father." I'm going somewhere with this, okay? "So I am that way to the Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, right now, you cannot go. You cannot go right now where I'm going. And I'll be back for you. And while you are here, don't let your hearts be troubled, agitated, fearful, or afraid." That's what trouble means. While you are navigating through this thing called life, he says, "Be comforted in knowing I am your way, I am your truth, and I am your life." And he's just like kind of paraphrases the way I think it should read is, it will be in knowing these three things is what will help you get through troubled times, the hard times of life until then. Not if, when those things happen. Not if they're going to happen, but when they happen. In John 16:33, he says, "Remember, I've told you these things, that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distresses, and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you." So he said, now while you're here, don't let your hearts be troubled. Since I've overcome the world, I've given you the power also to overcome it. So let's go back and think for a minute about this word I am. In Exodus chapter 3, 13, 14, God says, "I'm sending you," and he's talking about Moses, "to Pharaoh to bring my people out of bondage." And he said, Moses said, "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" So, you know, Moses said, "I can't talk plain, blah, blah, blah. But Moses, you're the messenger. You're the one with the word. I'll go out there and talk to you, but you're the one that's going to go. And if this will be a sign to you, when you come to the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on the mountain." And he said, "Well, what if I go and they don't, you know, heed to me?" And he said, "This is what you're going to tell them. The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God says to Moses, now listen, he said, this is what you're going to tell them. He said, "You tell them I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name, what? Forever. Forever means no ending. I am the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So it just didn't stop there. Amen. So the I am God reveals his character, reveals who he is. He reveals his attributes. The God I am meaning to be. He just is. No need for further explanation. Now in John 8:56-59, the Pharisees began to question Jesus. He says, who do you think you are? And he and said, your father Abraham. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you've seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was, I am. At this time, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So they got really angry at him because he was what? Identifying himself with God. God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, three in one, but with separate functions for us. The Pharisees knew that the I am meaning and understood what Jesus was declaring and what Jesus was and who Jesus was identifying himself to, the eternal God. And they did not like it. That's why the name of Jesus provokes people to anger today. Because he says, I am. And when he says, I am, something begins to happen. It's in the atmosphere when we begin to declare, I am. Jesus, Jesus. And begin to declare, Jesus, I am. He's the I am, the God of the now, the Jesus of the now, ready to be whatever we need him to be in this present life. So I'm ever present in the help in time of trouble. Now in the Greek, the word I am is a very intense word. It's referring to oneself. I myself and only I am self-existence. There are no other gods before me. The name of power and authority in Jesus, the name I am, the way, the truth, and the life. So expressing the statement, Jesus was not only letting us know the Father, knowing the way to heaven, but it goes a step further. It's also the fulfillment of life here on this earth now. Because we just didn't get saved just to go to heaven. Because you've heard me say, we have a life to live and we need help on the way. So if we take these three statements and bring it over into our life, what is he saying to us today? Now in John 8:12, Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will never walk in spiritual darkness, but what? Will have the light of life. Why? Because he said, I am life. And I went back and started at the end of that word, and it will give us more realization of truth and the way when we get to that in a few minutes. So spiritual darkness is the state of a person who's living apart from God, who doesn't have a relationship with God. Matthew 14:16 tells us the people dwelling in darkness, and this was also in Isaiah, dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them, what? A light has dawned. Wow. Those who come to know God of Israel through his son Jesus Christ are the ones who have been delivered from spiritual darkness and what? And now walk in the light of God's life. We got a big old light inside of us that we need to be let shining. Amen. So the apostle John taught that what? God is light. This is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So these Bible thumpers that want to thump you on the head and tell you that Jesus is out to get you, that you've sinned and you've done some bad, there's no good in you, they're not talking about the Jesus I know. Because the Jesus we know, there's no darkness in him. He is all love, mercy, grace, and goodness. Amen. So anyone who has believed in Jesus as their Savior has not only received eternal life in heaven someday, but they enter into a personal relationship with God as his child. Because it's all going to be finished when we get there. Nothing can take your promised position with God in eternity once you are saved. Amen. And that angers a lot of religious people. And I'll just go ahead and chase this little rabbit for a minute. Once I was born into my father and mother, there's nothing I could do to get away from that name. It was in my DNA. I could have been adopted. I could have been thrown away. I was still born to Robert and Louise McClister in 1961. Nothing I could do could take me away from that name. All the good, the bad, and everything else that came with my name followed me around. Well, honey, you got saved. And when your spirit man was reborn, you got the DNA of Jesus. And you got all of his goodness and all of his mercy and everything you got. Amen? That's a whole other message. But John 14:19 says, he gave the promise that because I live, you will live. Not just eternally with the Father, but an overcoming life in the earth now. And like I said, your eternal destination is fixed if you've accepted Jesus. It's a done deal. But we are to live an overcoming life in this earth now. Because you can go to heaven depressed, broke, disgusted, mad, angry, and everything else. It's just going to keep you from living an overcoming, victorious life in this earth now. So why would you want to go through life being that way? So not just with turn of the Father, but an overcoming life in the earth now. And then he goes, I am not only life, but he says, I am the way. That's why I wanted to start with life and then kind of work our way at the beginning. He says, I'm not only life. I'm not only the life and the light that I've given you. But he said, I'm the way. I'm the way. And when a person is left, and this just came out of nowhere, when a person is left to his own devices, when man, a person, is left to his own devices, which means plans, it leads to folly. And I thought, well, that's a big word for me. I don't know what folly means. I looked it up, and folly means lack of good sense or foolishness. I ain't know none of y'all ain't never walked that way. When a person is left to his own devices or to his own plans, what happens? It leads to folly. Lack of good sense of foolishness. Now, ain't that the truth? So Proverbs 14:12 what tells us there is a way which seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to a person and appears straight before him. But at the end of it is the way of death. And you know, every time we look at that word death, we all automatically think that we just quit breathing and we die. But when I look at that word, I think of death to me, because like I say, when we die, it's going to be all glory in heaven then. But I was thinking about, when I think about death, I think about death to your plans, death to your dreams, death to your joy, death to something you wanted to do and got sidetracked. Death to those things. But at the end of it is death. There is a way which seems right to man, and it appears straight, but at the end it's the way of death. It's him, and you know, it's part of our human instinct to want to know where we're going before we start a journey, you know, or me personally, you know. And I think it's possible we like to be in control because we want to know where we're going, what we're going to do when we get there, when are we going to get there, what time are we going to get there, and who are we going to see when we get there. So, but we get our GPS out and we find the road and how to go and the travel and the places we stop and all that. We don't know the curves, the hills, the bumps, the way we're supposed to travel in life. We don't know. It's not plain before us. It's not set out there before us. And thank God it's not. Because if it was, we wouldn't be called to live a life of faith, right? So the way we're supposed to travel in life, we simply know that we are called to follow Jesus. And in the New Testament, they were called followers of the way in some places. And trusting him and walking in faith. And so in the troubled times, he does what? He says, I am in the troubled times. In the joyous times, he says, I am. In the hard times, what? He says, I am. In the confusing times, he says, I am. I'm not the author of all that. But I will be the I am there to show you the way through. What? Because I am. Why? Because I am the light. I am the life that's been given to you. Remember what he has told the disciples. That, and what he told the disciples is what he tells us today. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And it's more than just an eternal salvation. Proverbs 3 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean unto your own understanding. We go back to the person being, you know, the folly person again. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Become aware of him. Recognize that he's there. And he will what? He will direct your paths. Now, way, he says, I am the way. Way means a road, a course, or a mode of action. Waymaker, miracle worker. Remember the song we sang? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. That makes you the I am, the all-sufficient what? Waymaker. The one who puts their trust in you to navigate us through this thing called life. Called life. And he has given us a better way to live our lives through him. When we forget about our own personal agendas. And said, there is a plan that you're asking me to follow. And if I acknowledge you in all my ways, trust you, you're going to show me that plan as I walk and give me the light of the path that I need when I'm on. So following him daily in faith, he will lead us to a life than we ever dreamed of before. Because once that happens, it begins to fall into place. So then he goes on to say, I'm the way for an overcoming life in the earth now. And the next thing he says is what? I am the truth, or I am truth. You know, I am truth. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. So that takes Jesus back to the I am again, to the beginning. Jesus is what we know as the incarnate Word of God, the source of what? All truth, because there's no, like we said, there's no darkness in him. He cannot lie. He didn't say that I'm one truth, part of a truth, or I will show you the truth. He is the source of all truth. And that's what we stand up against facts. You know, facts may be this, but what is the truth of the situation? If the facts don't line up with the word, then it's not truth. Because that is what navigates us through life. You know, the fact may be I have pain in my body. But the truth is, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Amen? So I am the truth. He is the source of all truth. Untruth is not any part of his characteristic. For what? He cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or act or tell or act a lie. Neither son of man that he should feel repentance. But what he has promised, what? He said, I'll do it. Spoken, he said, I'll make good on it. Then in Titus, this is the New Testament. In 1 and 2, he says, rest in the hope of eternal life, which the ever-truthful God cannot deceive, promise before the world or the ages begin. Then we have another scripture in Hebrews 6:18 says, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and what is his oath, we're talking about truth, and truth cannot lie because Jesus is truth, in which it's impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us. Who has fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and what a strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us set before us. Talking about the way there too that he has set before us. I am the way. I am the truth. So we know that Jesus, who is truth, as we said, cannot lie. Because he is I am. The way, the truth, and the life. So when we took Jesus as our Savior, we took the first step in the way of knowing truth. Because before we thought we knew truth, and that's what we walked in. Even though it may have made us miserable and broken, everything else, but that was the only truth that we had, or that was the only facts that we had. When we got saved, we began to look into the Word, we began to find out there's a better life. There's a better way. Amen? So we accepted Jesus as a Savior. We took the first step on knowing the truth. 3 John 3 and 4 says, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. He says, I have no greater joy to hear that my children also walk in truth. It brings the Father great joy when he sees us walking in the truth, because he knows the truth is going to keep us. The truth is going to cause us to have joy in our life. Amen. It will keep us. Truth comes into our lives of salvation to what? To bring transformation. Because we may have a fact of how we are because of what people have said or defined us as, but we get into the truth, we find out. So the truth brings us into transformation. What kind of transformation? As we go in life, the Spirit of Truth guides us in the ongoing process of being transformed into who we are by nature of our born-again spirit. And the life of Jesus, there's the life again, and the life of Jesus, the I Am Truth, will be manifested in us. See, your born-again spirit is born again. It's this flesh part, it's our old nature that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We should be growing at all times. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are what? Are being transformed. From glory to glory, from the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth. So truth comes into our lives also to transform us into who we already are. That's why we don't have to work for what we've already got. We just believe and begin to be transformed on a daily basis. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ, and no longer I live, but Christ what lives in me. The life I now live, the life of when? After you got saved, after you accepted Jesus, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow, that's the life that you live now. So the devil's just trying to convince us we're something that he's trying to convince us we're not. Because we are. I'm not going to say that again because I don't know what I just said. But you are a son. You are a daughter of God. Amen. With the truth inside of you, which is the I Am. That truth resides in you because the I Am, the life, is in you. And it's to transform us from glory to glory. So we as believers have been united by faith to Christ. We die to the old life daily and have been risen to a new life. So we are called to live this life by what? By knowing the way, in knowing the truth, in knowing the life that we now live. Jesus, the I Am in us, shows forth his glory in the earth. That's the whole purpose of it. And that we don't walk alone. That he has provided for us our final destination in heaven. And the road we walk until we'll be lived throughout the Spirit of God that is in us. Until he says, I'm coming back. It's done, I'm coming back. But until then, we have a life to live. And how do we live that life? In the position of victory and in the position of overcomers. By knowing the way, by knowing the truth, and realizing the life of Jesus lives in us. And that makes us an overcomer, truth, church. And to know that the truth is there to transform us. And to realize the power of I Am that lives inside of you. Until then, we can rejoice in his love to know that we are from God. And that we are rejoicing and we have health and wealth from God every day of our life. Amen. So I pray that message has encouraged you today, that when you leave here that you begin to say, okay, Jesus, your word says that you are the truth, that you are the way, and that you are the life, and that's not just going to happen when I get to heaven, but it's happening right now in my life, this very moment. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given us to encourage us today, to know that we are more than conquerors through you who lived us. And while we're on our way, while we are navigating through this life, that we never forget that your word is what grounds us, God. That your word is what grounds us. Your word is your stabilizing force in our life. And that we never neglect looking into your word and just say, Lord, help us to have a teachable spirit, that we will see with the eyes of understanding, and that we will hear something, maybe Holy Spirit, that we didn't see before, that you would speak to us, God. And that we're being transformed from glory to glory, and that we are glory bearers in the earth for such a time as this. And then even as the lame man sat at the gate and said, give me alms today, Peter and John knew that they had the answer to that man's dilemma. And it's enough, what I have I give to you. And we have that truth in us. We have that way in us. We have that life in us, church, to speak to the lame of this world and see them set free. To speak to the sinner of this world and say, there is hope. There's nothing that you've done that Jesus has not already forgiven you for. Just believe. Hallelujah. And I speak today that word will continue to be in our hearts this week. That when we go forth, we realize the life that lives in us. The life that lives in us is the life of Jesus. And because of that life, we have a light, that we are salt in this earth. And Father, I thank you for this word today. And I speak your blessings on these people today, God, that are hearing this message, that are setting forth before me today. I speak life to them, God. I speak dreams that have died to come back to life in the name of Jesus. That word that you may have spoken to them a month, a year, or 2 years ago, that you bring it back to their remembrance, and they grab a hold of that prophetic word and say, oh yes, Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding me. This is the way that I should be going at this time. I thank you, Father, every need is met in Jesus' name. And that no weapon that is formed against them will succeed at reaching its intended purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing us to be a blessing. And we call them in from the north, from the east, south, and west, as Sister Gail said today, God. Those that belong in this body, that you would speak to them in Jesus' name. And for that, we give you praise. And everybody said, amen and amen.